It takes time, and it takes time to get word out.
You are live, just speak loudly.
And I've got you live on the stream.
Awesome.
So speak loudly.
Okay, carry the big stick. I'm Kevin Finzi, and we're going to talk today about Fedora Classroom. Some improvements, how to get involved, why it's important.
What it is.
What it is, all sorts of things. So feel free to jump in and...
Oh, okay, so I get to go first?
Sure.
I'm Flint Savage, yeah. So the funny part is when this started happening, Kevin decided it would be a cool idea to have IRC training sessions for a lot of the people in Pal Fedora. And so for me, that was kind of the crowd that we were kind of interested in having come and listen to some of the talks that have happened. And I see at least two people in the room that either have given one, besides us, have either given a session or are giving a session in the near future. Right, Ian? So the thing is what we were really looking at, and the reason why we're interested in getting this going, is I was talking to Carson, and this little image came out of him. This is actually Carson's image, except for I've modified it now to make it 100% instead of 105. This had 85 before. So anyway, the point here is, and then the idea of what we're after is, basically we're looking at these people here are really not who we're after. We're really after these people, and these are the people that are in Pal Fedora in my mind. And they're the ones that are using and participating, are proud about it, they're excited about Fedora, and they want to use it and tell their friends. And so, do you have a question?
Well, I have a remark. Do you know why it's at 85%? Because contributors and participants is one group, and contributors is a part of participants. So the top layer is actually 15% in grand total.
Not really, and that's kind of what he was getting at. And what way Carson pointed it out, and this is something Carson explained to me, and so I'm just kind of relaying it, but I wanted to use it for Fedora Classroom because it really makes sense. This group of participants is 15%, and what we really have is this is us in the InfudCon. I mean, really it is. It's the people that are contributing back, and all the other people that are not able to come, right? Okay. But they contribute back. And so those are the people that we're trying to get out of the benefit, because if you translate this across the diagram over here, the consumers, you get this really small percentage. We don't have numbers over here because we don't know what those percentages are. Participants, we're going to get an even amount probably, or something similar. They're going to be, oh yeah, I'm excited about this. We're going to tell our friends. And hopefully we'll get, you know, one-to-one type benefit. But if we can take those people in that area and enable them to become contributors in some form, we'll get them up to that 5%. We're going to get a much larger pool of benefit from it. And that's actually what a lot of, like when I was talking to Greg about this specific thing, he basically said that's what Red Hat kind of has to do, is get those contributors and make it so that Fedora can actually help grow a lot of more functionality and benefits. And so one of the things that I really want to talk about is why the actual Fedora Classroom is important. And the reason is because those people that we're after are those participants that I think we can convert over to contributors. And so the thing when Kevin brought it up and wanted to do this, I was like, I'm on board, I want to do it, and the reason I've done this is because I've seen a model before that works, and that's the Ubuntu Classroom. They do it for a week, once a year, I think it is, or every 6 months, and they have it all on UTC, and they do it every single day. It's called the Ubuntu Open Week, actually, when I think about it. And they basically do these classes in IRC. But the thing was, is when we started doing it, what we saw was contributors giving classes that I've seen at FUDCon, and contributors giving classes that were really more about helping contribute to a product. And what I'd like to see, and hopefully we can get people, you know, more involved in this, coming in and getting involved in teaching a basic class, showing people how to learn how to do something. Because what that does is it enables them to understand a functionality of Fedora better, that they can use in their jobs.
Spins and puppet class.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with those. But what I was getting was, you know, how do you become a contributor? And those aren't bad either. Mm-hmm. And we need a mix, and that's kind of what we were discussing last night.
Right.
And I'll let Kevin talk a little more to that. But what it is we basically want to have classes in IRC. We want to have classes in Fedora Talk, probably some screencasts. And one of the things that brings that up is I want to write a feature for GStreamer that basically allows us to do real time streaming of video. Right. With like Fedora Fiora and convert it automatically. Currently can't happen as far as I know. Maybe it can, but that'd be a really neat thing, right? So real time, talking about stuff, getting it out to people, letting them do a tutorial session, right. These sorts of things. So that's what we're thinking it's going to become. Mm-hmm. Currently it's IRC, once a month, scheduled on the same days, first Saturday and Sunday every month. Okay. The time changes, but yeah. Keep it in Fedora Classroom.
Yep. So we've got over why.
Yeah, so what it is, why is it important?
Another reason, going into what you were saying, I think it's very important for these 15% or maybe the top of the consumer pool here to realize that they know stuff that's nice and important and very useful as well. And, you know, if we could see some more of the intro classes targeted at these folks, you know, in putting together a class like that, somebody's going to learn how something works a lot better. They may be interested more in that particular thing and maybe contribute back to it, find bugs in it, report the bugs, all that kind of stuff as well. So, yeah, it all ties together pretty nicely.
So I think the last part is, you know, how do we get you guys involved? And that's kind of something I think that more or less I want to sit down in this room and just talk about, in the sense that I'd like to see, you know, maybe some ways for us to be able to accomplish the goals we've set out. Like, okay, we want to have some basic courses, we want to have some intermediate courses, and we want to have some advanced courses every month. And we want to get more contributors to come and actually do those courses, but also the Found Fedora and the other Tech Fedora Forum type people to come and actually realize that they can do them too, and give them opportunity to take a class and teach it for 30 minutes.
Right.
You know, and I know they're hour sessions, but we tell them 30 minutes because there's Q&A and all the fun stuff. So. I think we've got a good model. I think we've got a way to get it out there. But what I'm really interested in is trying to get a good range of classes, starting with IRC and moving towards maybe to Fedora Talk and that sort of thing. Jared Smith said he'd be here to harass me about Fedora Talk at some point, so we can probably make that happen.
Well, I think the Fedora Talk session is this session.
Yeah, I know. He said he'd come harass me later.
Oh,
I didn't mean this moment.
Okay.
So.
Another thing that I'd kind of like to see, or that I mentioned at the beginning that I think we can do fairly easily, is also some ad hoc type classes. Say you're talking to four or five other people, either on IRC or in real life or whatever, and you're thinking, oh, you know, I could show these people something, or how to do something, or how a project works, or whatever. That sort of ad hoc class could very easily take place over in the Fedora Classroom, IRC room, and there may be people in that room who are just idling in that channel, you know, waiting for the classes to happen every month. But then they may see this ad hoc class and go, hey, that's interesting, I didn't know that, or I didn't know how that worked.
You know what, there's a thought there with Zodbot. We could have a Zodbot, like, when someone wants to start a class, they can say start class,
sure.
Zodbot,
and
it can record it. Well, not only advertise it, but it could record it, like the session itself,
right.
And when they say end class, then it actually logs it up with IRC to HTML.
Right.
That would actually be really cool.
I think we want something like that for meetings.
Yeah, you're welcome, Ian. But not you necessarily, I mean, someone else could write a Zodbot plugin for that.
Right.
But, yeah, there you go.
Well. And that very same thing is needed for meetings as well.
And someone threw that dog onto me, so.
Do you have a thought here?
Well, I was actually going to want you to vote you in a second. I was wondering if I just test that out.
Oh, yeah.
Just see if I get a different charge rate.
Yeah.
Just trying to try it.
So, yeah, anyway, ad hoc classes may be something that we'll want to try and see if it takes off or is useful to folks.
Well, you've mentioned it several times. I've thought about doing it a couple times, but it kind of tends to be one or two people wearing Fedora ambassadors, and it's more convenient to stay there.
Sure.
But I think the thought is maybe we don't need it in a Fedora classroom, we just need a Zodbot that just records what we're saying. But it would be nice to be in a central location, I have no problem with that. So maybe we could do, and maybe this is possible, is do a start class, and then all of a sudden it says, you know, go over to Fedora classroom or whatever number, whatever room it makes. And we all get automatically moved over there.
Mm.
And that would be kind of cool. And I know you can do that sort of thing pretty easily with IRC. But the Fedora Talk thing can still do something similar, like
sure.
Dial into this number. I mean, there's some really good value there to have a way to do these sorts of sessions. And I think it translates to more than just the classroom, but that's basically our focus, is to try to find, I mean, I'm kind of still stuck on, you know, how do we get, you know, Steven to do a class, and, you know, how do we get other people to do classes and actually come in and talk?
Right.
I mean, I want the experts there too. I really do. And yeah, I know, and I was actually thinking, I just learned what I'm going to do is get, because I was just in Paul's Git class,
mm-hmm.
and the example I had was, they don't know what rebasing really was. There's 20 people in there, they have no idea how to use rebasing. And really cool to talk about Git rebasing, which is a very simple functionality of Git, but nobody knows how to use it. So that's some stuff that I can think about. But maybe we should come up with, and I don't know if you guys have any ideas, that's kind of what we're hoping for, is some topic ideas that you guys could think of, or whatever you want to come up with for the whole thing.
Well, a popular favorite is always Git. I mean, whether it's beginner, advanced, how to cook your toast with Git, whatever.
Pragmatic version control with Git.
Reading people's minds with Git. I mean,
there's no end to it.
Well, what I'm actually curious is there a way we can pull the groups and Git topics, or maybe Pound Fedora can provide those in the sense that what support requests you get regularly, we can put a list up and invite people who are maybe true contributors or more the participant area and have them come and talk on those things because they're already given a topic. Like, just go prepare slides for it. We've already given you the topic and kind of empower them because that's kind of how I see it.
One of the ideas I had, and I don't know how practical this is, it didn't really work out for the last cycle, but one of the things that happens during a development cycle is that a lot of people go through these feature processes where they're pushing a new feature that's some new shiny thing that they're doing. And one of my thoughts was to try and get those folks to give talks on their features, like explain to people what this is, why they care, what neat thing about it is. And I don't know if that falls into that falls more into getting current contributors to do something rather than pulling somebody new.
Well, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but the thing I have a hard time with that one is a lot of people that are in that participant area are looking for stable environments, and they're really after what's already available.
Sure.
And maybe there's a new feature in something, maybe there's a new feature in Xen, we could have them talk about that, or KVM, or whatever these benefits are. I really think that's where we should look, is maybe in what new features are in stable stuff that are coming, because like Cobbler is a good example, how to use Cobbler in a basic way. And things that system administrators use, because I think that's a lot what we get in Pound Fedora.
Sure. Yep.
Should we try and vary the style of each thing so that you have one per day, like beginner, intermediate, advanced, or so you make sure you
like a kind of like a track system, like you have individual tracks almost.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not running simultaneously. No. What you're saying, but.
Well, I mean. If you got enough, you could run a time.
Well, it ends up being there's another thought there is that replaying a session would kind of be cool, like having like all the prompts just show up in the session from the person running it,
right?
And the questions and like so other questions like it's just we're just replaying it for you. You're just not interactive, but you get to be able to watch it rather than like read the log, because I've found, or in the case of Fedora Talk, it'd be really easy to replay that in audio.
Right, just
or
as
in the
a
future
stream
as screencast.
To, you can't speak, you're just listening to.
But that goes along with your beginner intermediate type thing, because you're basically saying, let's have some that are canned too, some canned demos that we can just do in IRC, like just do it in a private channel and then have the Zogbot replay them in the real channel.
Yeah.
And that'd be kind of cool.
Call it the VCR plugin.
Yeah. What are you going to call it?
The one problem. Message to whoever wanted to see the replay.
Yeah.
So the whole channel doesn't get it if the rest of the channel's not interested.
True.
Yeah. Well, Pound Fedora Class would be perfect for that one. It's off hours.
Sure.
You could just run over and over ad hoc events. Or
just have it randomly pick and keep going.
24/7.
Well, so I don't think you should do it that way, but you should probably have like maybe. 2 hours every week that you say these are when Zogbot's going to run these classes. And it'd be really easy to have Moksha actually do that.
Well, the one problem with that is, you replay this thing and it gives them the illusion that it's interactive so that, at the end, people would be, well, what about this and this? And then there would be no
That would actually be a great thing that Zogbot could record and send to the originator. And then they could answer an email.
Yeah.
There's a program called Radio West in Utah that they do. It's a radio program. They do it at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then at 7 o'clock they replay it. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they say, this is a rebroadcast,
right.
Please don't call. And if you call, we're going to ignore you, basically.
Right.
We're going to say, no, we can't do it. So if someone asks a question while that thing's going on, We could more or less, you know, record those and say, like, Zodbot's not going to be able to answer those.
Right.
And maybe have Zodbot, like, have the message, and then but it actually has a person's tag next to that each time.
Right, right.
Because rather than replaying it, it shows Zodbot each time, so they know it's from the bot.
That'd be how you have to do it.
Right.
And
then,
well, yeah, but that makes more sense.
But
anyway.
Then we wouldn't have necessarily a very good way to answer those questions later or get back to them, because,
sure.
You know, they're asking them in an IRC channel, and they
do
go,
do they
why?
Have a fast name? And
no.
This is, but
well,
see, that's
who knows?
The, hey, there's the encouragement right there to get a fast account. Well, that's what I'm saying, is if they don't, then we say, well, we can't answer your questions without having a way to get, I mean, it's a very simple process, and you become, that's not trying to get contributors per se. I'm trying to say, this is a way we can actually give you valid feedback,
right.
But you have to have, you know, this is one requirement. And there's no other way we could really do that, and you're right, without maybe private messaging them after the fact.
Yeah.
But you could do that too. But I like the email response idea, because then we actually can,
you can
bring them in and invite them to do
yeah,
a topic or something.
Most
you can send a
print
message
interested
in that. With your email in it.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people aren't going to be interested in signing up just for a question. You know? They'll ask a question and then, oh, I have to sign, it's too much hassle. So, I don't know. It's
yeah,
a problem.
I agree.
And it may
yeah,
be something
right.
worth trying and seeing. Just
well, and maybe
seeing.
We just do private messages and that's good enough. I mean, because you get the contributor come out after like the next day or something and
or,
PM them.
Or maybe
responses.
Even instead of just replaying it entirely in the channel, posting links to the various talks because we have them archived.
Yeah.
So they could say, you know.
If you have a question, email this person.
Right.
Well,
go,
and that,
go
actually,
look
that,
at the
that
archive.
Could actually happen anyway from Zodbot at the
sure.
end. If there are any questions, please email, and it could be beginning and the end, and you could have a start script.
Right, and this
script.
Is recorded.
Yeah,
pre-
and I think that would be really useful.
That's possible, yeah.
And I don't know that this, I don't know that IRC is the only way to do that. I mean, clearly you could do screencasts and live audio that way too.
Sure.
So, and talking about that is, I mean, we're streaming a lot of the audio this weekend here at FudCon. You can do canned streaming as well, and so a lot of the things on Fedora Talk could get replayed. Almost like a radio station, and that's actually something I've been thinking about. And it really relates to this because now we're talking about these bar camps here, but in the near future, we could have like a really good talk on something that came out of here.
Sure.
And you know, people could talk about it in Fedora Talk, and then we could replay it on the streaming server like 3 times a month, and we have you know set schedules that we set up.
Podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. And you could have anybody. Well, and that is where that's going. I mean, that's my idea where we're going with that. Is we're going. I've already requested the resources for an Icecast server. We're planning on getting anybody with a fast account can get a podcast type of thing. I mean, and clearly have to make a request that sort of thing. But that is kind of a target. Is this is going to help? But we can have a Fedora Classroom podcast, and this is really what I'm kind of seeing. I mean, it goes beyond that, but. And that's what I have a problem is I'm sitting in this room and I see, six people? And I'm not saying that's bad, because I think this actually is probably the core people that I want. But I want to get this out to a larger community. And
sure.
I think if they came and actually listened, but the problem is there's just so many good topics this year.
Sure.
You know, it's really hard to pick.
So I have a question. Is anyone here active in the Fedora forums? Or goes on them at all?
I do some.
I stay away mostly. I don't know why.
Because I think that may be another place where we.
And I agree with that. Yes. I mean, when I say Pound Fedora, I mean Pound Fedora, Fedora Forum.
I don't
pretty much
the forums
any,
at all.
Any
so.
Of the any of the customer or user support
sure.
areas are really the target market that
right.
I think we're
absolutely.
After. Because even if we don't make them contributors, the best thing about it is they have gotten this nice free support, and there are resources they can go and get.
Right.
And. If they're, you know, they're going to be those people that, you know, if they decide to go and work for a big company, then Red Hat's going to gain their benefits because they have all the nice Fedora stuff too. So it really works out for everybody in the end. And so I think that there's some really good value there in either way. But there's other forums out there. I mean, there's obviously Linux Questions and
sure.
The Fedora Solve stuff that's
right.
out there. And they could.
Well, we don't actually have forums.
I know we don't own any of that, to be honest. Well, we own some of it, but I know we don't own Fedora Forums. I'm not saying that. I'm saying is that as the ambassadors, we were actually talking about one hour a week. Each of us are supposed to go either into Pound Fedora or Pound or into Fedora Forums or wherever and pick something and actually like help. And that's actually how I started getting in that.
Oh, really?
Is because somebody asked, well, can you go do Pound Fedora? I'm like, oh, sure. So like I spend a couple hours in there, and then I would ignore the channel for a while, and then I come back and a week later and do it again. And the thing is that you don't need a ton of people in there all the time, because you guys got some good administrators and whatever, but I come in and I can help, and that's something the ambassadors are kind of chartered with doing, whether they do it or not. You know, I mean, it's a contributor community, so
sure,
they do
sure,
it if they can. But there's value in that, and then we can, and the idea is that we can learn what the problems are too, and we can help mentor people get the right way, and the knowledge that we can share, and you know, so on and so forth.
So ambassadors is another real good pool, I think. I don't know the communications channels there, but I think that probably there's a lot of ambassadors who think maybe that they don't know very much, or they're just getting involved or whatever, but they could very easily do a class on, you
yeah.
know, I whatever, it, Firefox I, tips.
So we find ourselves in the discussion that Ian, myself, Dave Nally, and Brian Powell had at a pizza restaurant yesterday afternoon at lunchtime. The discussion was something along the lines of, there's a gentleman, his name's Larry Caffiero. He's he's actually one of my favorite ambassadors that we have. We just upgraded him to a regional coordinator. We got him involved in some of the things going on. And the thing was he always would ask permission to do stuff. And the thing interesting about the federal community or any of the open source communities is that we have this more just do it mentality. Just if you think you can do it, go do it. And if it doesn't turn out okay, that's okay. We learned a lesson and we did something wrong, and maybe you know you learn how to do it better the next time. And that's kind of the thing, the mentality of it. But until people actually see how to like take charge of something, what did you say, Ian? Just go do it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? So
sure.
That's the part where I think if we can give topics, if we can give things for people to actually hold on to,
mm-hmm.
then they feel empowered and they don't have to like ask, well, can I do this? Because it's already on the wiki saying, go do it, or it's on this webpage saying, here's some topics you could do, and here's some times you can do them, and just go do them. And they're already approved. I mean, you don't have to put the word approved or anything, but you could just say, these are already here, ready for you to do. Please feel free to pick one. And sometimes you could even do maybe a few starter slides for them, so they have some basic stuff. I don't know. Any other thoughts?
I mean, there's a whole list of those sort of topics that we can come up with.
Well, but the reason that I'm here is I want help.
Sure, absolutely.
There's no way you and I can just do this.
Right.
Of course you can.
Well,
once a month.
So
you don't need a real job.
That's the thing, right? Right. So I just started a new job and. Yeah, I'm working 60-hour weeks now instead of 40, just to get myself up to speed, that sort of thing. I had taken these 2 days off from work and Thursday and Friday this last week to make sure that I was here. But beyond that, I'm got that, and I started a teaching job coming up, so I'm going to be a little more busy than I used to, and so it's kind of a different light, I guess, to look at. And so. Everybody has their restrictions in life, and I'm not suggesting mine's any worse than anybody else, but the benefit I see is that if we can get a bunch of us doing an hour, you know, that's 6 hours a month if we took everybody in this room.
Yep.
And that's all I'm really after is somebody come and help us for an hour a month. I think we'd have plenty. So
basically what you could ask the ones that have given a classroom before to write a sort of like a small document explaining what on that subject you can do in an hour, because they have the experience of.
Well, I mean, even related, maybe related topics too that are close. Like you did the spins one, maybe you could talk about how to use your visor, or how to use Punji, or those sorts of things. Because really, yours was more talking about. I mean, you used Punji a little bit, but it really focused on how spins work and how to get one out the door.
Yeah. How to get Live CDs.
Right.
Right.
And Live CD Creator or Live CD ISO to Discs type stuff would be, you could do 30 minutes on that, to be honest.
Right.
With Kickstart files and everything.
But there's a million of sessions that I could do. But
the
point was that if I know a lot, quote unquote, on a certain topic and I'm given a classroom, I thought of it on the spot.
Right.
I can write a few paragraphs on this is what you want to tell them. Don't get into those details unless explicitly asked.
Right.
I hand that over to Kevin, and he can do the same talk.
Well, and I'm finding, what I'm really finding now is now that I've gotten into the contributor mentality for the last year or so, is that, like, for instance, Paul did a talk at Utah Open Source Conference on Fedora Remix, which basically I'm taking and remixing it to mm-hmm. be a better talk on Fedora Remix.
Right.
And we, I mean, the thing was is that Fedora Classroom is a little bit more informal because it doesn't really always have slides. Like, I did slides for SE Linux, but it wasn't required. And I did the LVM ones, and I didn't do any. You know, so I but, like, that's some of the stuff that I think that, you know, we can actually take advantage of, that somebody would actually, you know, put up a few slides, even if it's, like, four slides. It doesn't have to be a lot. It just has to be, here's what we talked about kind of thing. And someone can actually build upon that rather than having to build their own. So.
And one thing I think that I'm, or an idea that I'm getting coming out of this conversation is, maybe the folks who have given a class in the past could do two things. One, if there are related topics or, you know, things that they went along and said, I'm not going to touch on that because it's a whole different topic, but it would be good for another talk.
Right.
Maybe if they could write those down on the wiki as suggestions for other people to give talks.
Right.
I only have 1 hour.
Exactly.
Let's not get into the details
right
now. But
and the second thing that comes out of that is that both, or not only the people who are attending a session, but the teachers who are teaching a session can go and see if they can contribute somebody else or get somebody else involved. As in, like, you give a talk, and then you come up with some suggestions. You can talk on these things, and then, hey, you over there, you know, I know you know this thing. Why don't you talk about it?
Like, so, for instance, there was the maestro and a couple other people that were in my channel when I was doing both of my talks, and they clearly knew the topic.
Sure.
They were involved. They were interested, but I haven't seen them offer that talk. And so my thinking was, and this is what I will do next time, is the end of the presentation, you know, you guys were really interested in this, and I think you learned some stuff. You know what's really good is if you actually teach it yourself, you learn a lot more.
Right.
And so, and being an instructor for the last 5 years, I can say that I know if that's true because I can apply. I mean, I can apply the things that I learned by teaching it because I had to learn it better because I had questions that I didn't know the answers to, and I had to go look them up. And that's what you're going to get out of it, is you're going to be able to be a better administrator or a better contributor or whatever it is because you did X. Yeah, and so for me, that's, I mean, getting that and getting the word out. I mean, I think obviously we're gonna need to work on that.
Yeah.
Well, so you can invite certain developers maybe to kind of like touch ground, because what happens if you only code, well, I've got the FSEO t-shirt, so it doesn't apply to me, but if you only code, you're never gonna receive the user questions. You're
right.
Never gonna have that dialogue. But if you have a session on whatever it is you work on, say someone is coding on Overt, he's gonna need the user's perspective on Overt, not Mike's.
Well, isn't that the original?
Mike is just, I've got a bug here, it doesn't work,
right.
Fix it. He needs the user.
Isn't that kind of the original point of having open source in the first place? Is you've got users that want to do stuff with things, and it breaks because it doesn't work, and then they log bugs. I mean,
that's usual, but
in this case, I don't know that everyone thinks that way because they've been trained with a more top-down approach instead of the bottom-up that communities really provide.
Okay, so suppose I do develop Revisor. Suppose I don't talk a lot to its users. I would miss out on use cases. I would not have the frequently asked questions. Hell, I might not even know there is a certain type of experience among those users.
Right.
Or whether they find it difficult to press next or finish.
Right.
I don't know.
If I don't
talk to the users, it takes 1 hour of my time, and I know what the 3 biggest problems are with Revisor.
Right.
And
if, you know, if you're teaching something as opposed to developing it, you're trying to explain how to use this thing to somebody who's never seen it before, potentially at least.
Right.
And that person might go, well, what about this? I don't expect that. And you go, what? Oh, you're right. That doesn't make any, you know, it doesn't.
One of the reasons why I like live screencasts as an idea, because in that case, there might be like a little chat window in the bottom right or something that someone could type in from IRC or something. Mm-hmm. And I could go, oh, I didn't know about that. And I could then address it really easily. And I don't think the feedback loop is going to be person to person in that case.
Right.
But I think it's very similar to the IRC concept is I just be able to read it while I'm talking. And if someone brings up something, I mean, obviously I have notes and things I want to do. But over here, I see this little message. And I'm like, oh, I should talk about that.
Right.
And there's value in that. That value add in that area that I see. So
one of the major things that came out of the Spinstall is that they're using it. They're loading it onto their USB stick. They're making their custom spins. They're including RPM Fusion. They're not remixing it or calling it Fedora Remix. It's still genuinely Fedora. If any one of those USB sticks is ever distributed, we're fine. but it is the reality. It is a reality.
Well,
some of those people will want to rerun, mostly for deployments in offices, but they do use it an awful lot. And that's one eye-opener. The other eye-opener, which I suspected would be there, when are they finally going to get updates to live images? So multiple releases per release cycle, just including the updates.
Mm-hmm.
They're very curious about that.
Right.
That's a very common question.
Yeah, but those are 10 new users.
So let's go back
to. I haven't seen those users before. It's entirely different.
Let's go back to how this group can help, because I'm really interested in the things that we kind of discussed, and I just want to make. I mean, we've got about 15 minutes left,
yeah.
And I want to kind of summarize some of the things and make sure that we didn't miss anything. And give us an opportunity to actually have kind of a small plan for going forward for February when we bring Classroom back again, the first week in February, is my guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a couple things that come out. One is one question is when do we what times do we do it? Because we're going to do it every Saturday and Sunday, first Saturday and Sunday of the month. That's not a question. I don't think that's going to change for the short term anyway. Maybe there are better times or whatever, but. I've been trying to kind of go with these 8-hour increments, and I'm now moving to 6-hour increments, probably move to 4-hour increments after that, and go back to the 8 or 12-hour increments again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that works, but does anybody have an opinion on that working or bad? Because I think there's a better way to schedule it, probably too, but currently I don't have one.
I think the only way we can schedule it better is if we moved to, instead of whoever wants to be there just is there to sign up for the things you're interested in and, you know, do some kind of
give us the time you think you can
right, do it. Right. But then that gets very complicated very quickly.
Managing it with us, I don't think that's really a good, I mean, could be, I guess, but I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
asking anybody to sign up for something is never a good idea.
Right.
Well, asking them to sign up for something is fine. I think that signing up for a topic and being interested in, because we do have, like, what topics are you interested in? We do have people add the topics there, but putting, like, time frames that they would be available is going to make it really difficult on us.
Right.
But I think you're right about if they have like, but the thing is if we just say, here's the times they're available, not everybody can come, and I got that complaint a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So
another thing you could do is list a number of frequently asked questions and sort of, like, update that frequently asked questions with the latest frequently asked questions. So if NVIDIA works again, make that a new FAQ. If they ask a lot about why Cobbler does this and that, make that a fact.
We've actually
keeping in mind that it may very well be worth 15 minutes in a classroom to address that specific fact.
Right. We've actually talked I talked briefly with Mike about some kind of knowledge base type thing for
right.
Fedora.
Mm-hmm.
Questions and answers and that.
Another kind of wonderful thing Zonobot could do.
Right. When it's database.
Also, I mean, that's what I said. When you can ask a query, you can query the database to say, I want to know about this and give me like the top 10 FAQs on it.
Well, right now,
it give you a link, set of links. That'd be really cool.
Right now, it requires PySQLite 1, which doesn't exist in Fedora land, so none of its database functions work.
Yeah, what if you do something on Fedora Unity stuff so you can still do the.
That's another question.
I will write an application, a web application with the interface, and then I will write a plugin that connects to an API I pull out of whatever.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of ways to do it.
You can use the Plum backend.
Yeah.
So backend.
There's all kinds of knowledge base applications out there, open source ones even. So that potentially is a.
They're running Zubot?
No. It's on.
Mike is on.
No, but he's hacked a few times.
I basically maintain the Fedora and Koji plugin.
Where is it hosted? Fedora and
Koji. Hosted.
Okay. Yeah.
In the Git repo.
Right. No, I mean, where is Zubot running?
Not one.
I thought it was NOC 2.
One of those. It's another infrastructure machine, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm running the FedBot, which is in Pound Fedora right now. I'm running that on one of my machines.
It tends to be.
Do you run FedBot? Because I had that name, and then I knew my company.
Oh, it was not registered.
No, it wasn't registered.
I was wondering why it wasn't. All right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that the RC bot can do. I don't know that necessarily we have to decide all of those, but
no.
A couple of things I think we want to kind of get to is, what kind of things would you guys like to see not topic wise, but what kind of improvements would you like to see in the way we run the meetings or the way that, or what things happen in the meetings or whatever in the classroom? Because when I did the class itself and walked through it, it didn't seem hard and it was fine and all that sort of thing. But I swear there's got to be a better way of getting the word out about this topic. And I don't really care if it's, I want to get all of you guys to commit to me today that you'll blog about Fedora Classroom in February, because I'd love to have that.
Right.
Oh, of course.
But I'm talking to the people and they're watching the video too. So they have to commit.
That's what I did last
time. If they started watching this video and got this far, they're better blog.
I've blogged about it.
Yeah.
Well,
of course, if they're on the planet.
Things people want to talk about have their own IRC channel.
Sure.
Like if you want to talk about LifeRio or some other RSS feed reader, then they've got a channel to advertise in there also.
Sure, and I think we do that.
Well, we could. I mean, it just depends.
At least I did when I was talking about it. I mean, there weren't really anything that had their own channels really, but
right.
I'd like to do is Gnome Do, and they have their own channel. As an example, how do you use Gnome Do?
One of the last sessions, the KDE folks did a session, and the way that came about is I went into their Fedora KDE channel and said, hey, anybody here, or actually, I guess I cornered them at their meeting, their weekly meeting.
Yeah, Rex.
Anybody want to do a talk?
Rex and Kevin. They will jump at that chance.
Absolutely.
They love sharing KDE with them.
Absolutely.
Talk to them.
But you're right, that's another resource, and either to find someone to give a classroom session or to find people interested in going,
I think the thing is Pound Fedora is not the only place, but I think that's, going to be our core for a short while, but, I'd like some more, experts on certain topics that I'd like to learn, and that's kind of the things that I see a lot. Like, I learn a little bit about Puppet when I come here, but I really want someone to, ask more questions to and have, a wrap session, and now I know that there's, I know there's Pound Puppet and Pound Fedora Puppet or whatever it is. I can go in there and ask questions, which is great now. But when I was first starting, I didn't know anything about those. And those are the things that we need to get people to know about. It's like, here's all these resources that are available to you. And maybe we just have a resource day or something.
Yeah, that's true.
But let's see. What other ways can we improve it? What other ways can we do more with it? There's got to be
I know we go to the sub projects directly and ask people to do it, but I think we need to keep doing that, obviously.
I think we need to do it more.
I wouldn't be able to do it, but I'd like to see a session on packaging or some of the basics, just getting started. Because, I was reading Fedora's
So there's a packaging sink.
Yeah, well, Spot would love to do that too, I'll bet you money.
And he did a talk at Raleigh Foot Con.
Yeah, I love his Raleigh Foot. That's actually why I'm an RPM maintainer now in RPM, is because Spot said, here's all the things you need to know. And he just walked us all right through it.
Yeah.
And you were in that, I know you were. Because it was the one upstairs in mm-hmm. At Red Hat. And Spot was, it was amazing, because I was like, I knew a lot of the stuff that was already there. The thing was, is he talked about standards and he talked about these other things and he explained to us why they're important.
Right.
And he could easily do that in an IRC session.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, especially in like Fedora Forum, Pound Fedora, would actually benefit. Because they are system administrators that, if they're puppet managed too, they would want to use RPMs too, because then they could deploy those RPMs quickly. And then build an RPM and deploy it, rather than having to build source and deploy it.
Well, the nice thing would be to, if Spot were to just take a random package off of the wish list, or and then walk people.
That would be really cool. I mean, you could do a lot of those sort of types of things.
I mean, just prepare ahead of time, know what you're going to run into. But make an outline
and then go
of
through
what
and
you
do
talk
it.
About
yeah.
in the channel.
Sure.
And
you could do that with like Git, teaching how to use Git, and do it for probably some of the TurboBeer stuff that they're writing, and some of the API stuff that you talk about. You could do it for even basic stuff, like administrating IP tables, which didn't somebody do that? You did a little bit on that?
I did an IP tables one, but
and,
there's so much there.
Well, yeah, and like building your basic firewall and securing yourself with SE Linux and doing even RAID and like software and hardware RAID, explaining how it works within Fedora and these system administration topics. Because again, going back to that diagram, that 15%, they're already excited about Fedora. They're already excited to be there. They are asking questions in there, and clearly they want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And getting them to say, oh, well, I know that, and I could teach it, is something that there's a lot of topics like.
Does a user need to have a FAS account to teach PUTs?
No.
Whether they should or not, I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice if they would want one.
I think they should need to if they want to add themselves to the schedule.
Yes, but they could technically talk to us to do that, and I don't think I would have a problem.
I wouldn't either, but
especially if we're doing it at, more informal, and maybe what we want to do is have that sort of communicated. Is if you can't add this to yourself,
well, I think
if then let us know in whatever channel and
right.
we'll fix it.
Well, if you can pitch a session here without having to have a FAS account,
sure.
You can pitch a session in Fedora Classroom.
Oh, yeah.
So,
that's not a question. I wasn't opposed to it. I mean, it would be nice if they had one, as I
right.
said. But I'm not going to stop someone from having one. In fact, it'd probably be good that they try that, and then if they decide they don't like it, that's fine. But if they do, they can get one, and we can help them do that.
Yeah.
And that's that conversion ratio that I'm after.
Right.
Because we talk a lot about converting people over to contributors and that sort of thing, and I think there's value in that. The thing I think is interesting the most is it's a one-on-one deal every time, and I've never seen a person get converted because they just went, oh, this is really cool, and they started creating something, and they committed it to Fedora because they didn't know anything about it. Like, they're going to have someone talking to them
sure.
and explain to them what the processes are and getting them involved and
mentoring
them along.
When I first started packaging, comments list on that bug report are pages long, so.
Yeah, so the funny part is in contrast, if we're talking about packaging, and I think we're both close on time, I had literally no comments on my first package. It was approved with one caveat that I changed the GPL version because I had it wrong. Everything else was done correctly, and that is especially thanks to Spot. Because otherwise I would not have known how to do half the things that I did. I had one review and it was
review. I started out of just being able to
then Brian
configure, make, install.
try Mod Passenger.
Monk Passenger?
Mod Passenger.
Oh, okay. I use Mod Passenger now with the Rails stuff you're talking about?
Or Fusion Passenger? No, it's not a Fedora, not an Apple.
that's fun.
Some packages are harder than others. Some packages are easier than others to package.
If we're gonna talk about packaging, I mean, that's, we're gonna kind of get off topic a little bit, but the thing about packaging is, I don't wanna package something that I don't wanna use, that I'm not using, and I'm not interested in maintaining. Like, I package, and I'm not trying to say that somebody shouldn't package it, and shouldn't be interested in it. Maybe they're generally interested in packaging, and I think that's the person you're after.
So here's the deal.
That's just
my
me,
company,
though.
My company is selling a product that, that needs a couple of Ruby gun things, a couple of passenger things, a couple of, I don't know what. I told them to bring it out and source it, and they're considering it once it's out of NATA.
Right, so here's the thing.
So
I would actually probably package some Ruby gems because I just started a job doing Ruby on Rails stuff, so that you may actually see me interested in doing packaging Fusion Passenger because it's something that needs to be done.
I packaged it. It's in review. It's not legal to ship in Fedora because of weird issues. But anyway, my company is paying me to maintain, I think in grand total, over 30 packages.
Well, and if my company's paying me to do it,
because
I would be all on board on something like that.
Right. So,
but at the current moment,
they're paying me to maintain Ruby gems for the genome project, RRD bindings for Ruby, so that we can have graphs and Puppet and all the.
So the fun part about all of this is it comes down to, you know, desire a little bit and obviously paycheck sometimes and but you're not going to get everybody to do everything. I mean, unfortunately, but and so that's kind of the thing is this doesn't seem like a really low requirement to get involved type thing, and that's kind of my point.
Right.
Is going back to Fedora Classroom, that's what we want to see. Is we want to get. We really don't have a big threshold for them to jump over to do a simple presentation. And if they like what they can do it again and again and again for all these different topics.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, we have a new contributor, and they're providing that big range of benefit to all the other people that are going to come in and ask questions that don't know the answers, and they're going to say, oh, look, there's a Fedora Classroom event on it in 2 weeks, or even in a week, and I can go and listen to that, and I'm going to learn, you know, 20% more, 100% more, whatever it is.
Stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to learn what my problems are and how to fix them. I'm going to be able to address some of the things that I know. And I think we should have repeat performances. Like, after a while, I'll go back to doing another SE Linux presentation because it's going to change.
Sure.
I want to go back and do another LVM. I want to go back and do another Git presentation. I want to do, and I'm really looking at the basics.
Or maybe somebody else steps up, has seen or looked at your SE Linux presentation, and goes, yeah, but that's changed. I should do a new one.
Yeah. Well, they take my slides, and I'm totally open to Creative Commons those. I think I did actually.
Yep.
And made them distributable, and anybody can modify them. So.
Yep.
As long as I get to retain my own, I don't care if anything else. Like they just, you know. And the benefit is to me is that now they've got that knowledge, and you're right, they can do my presentation, and I wouldn't care.
Yep.
It'd be great because then I don't have to do it anymore, and I can go do something else and learn
another
something new, or I can learn something new and do that talk or whatever. So.
And one thing that I think eventually you're going to have to head into, and I know you just spent yesterday making ambassador kits and boxes, but instructor kits. We need a way to move out of IRC into visuals, and I mean IRC is great, but not everyone uses it.
Sure.
So
everyone can go to a web page with a chat box at the bottom and a video screen on it.
Yeah, in the next room over, I was just talking to Chris Tyler about the recordings that we're doing. We're talking about basically doing something like that with recording devices and making it so it's really easy to do, you know, like audio and video recording in a box or screencasting in a box or whatever it is.
There are a bunch of sites that'll host stuff like that for free.
That'll host that.
You can use like StickGam and stuff.
Yeah, well, the thing is, and I really think part of it is while it's nice to put up there, we really want to stick with the free formats. And that's the other part.
Okay.
Is,
yeah,
while it'd be nice to put it in MP3,
yeah.
You know, And I'm not opposed to putting it in MP3 in some places, specifically because we now have a licensing agreement with some people on some of it, not every component, and I don't know how it's paid for. So I have to make sure I have the legal covered on that. But as long as it's legally covered, I don't care. And then I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
And the benefit of that is you get a wider audience. But in the sense, the other way to look at that is that wider audience is the people that we're not wholly interested in, they're just users.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to have just users. And that's a great thing. We're really interested in getting those participants into contributors. Those are the people that are already in the room, and having a wider audience does not necessarily help us if we convert to MP3 or convert to an MPEG or whatever it is.
Well, the places where the video chat I was talking about, like, are probably Flash. I'd have to go look.
Yeah,
the
and Flash, you,
that,
you,
know,
yeah, you can argue, you can argue that maybe they could use Ganache and it would work.
Yeah.
But we have to really strip it down, and really work towards those. But those are some things that I think that this will drive. I mean, there are there's value in that, and there's no argument. I mean, I really feel like that's a great way to look at it. And hopefully in the future, Flash will be open completely.
Yeah.
Well, we've got Live Flash support and SWF that.
Right, but it's not, it's not as, it's not as much, right? It's
what?
Like, it has some licensing issues still.
No,
it's in Fedora.
No, it's, it works well.
But the LibFlash plugin is the one for
LibFlash
Firefox,
isn't
as an example.
Needed anymore. That's
what?
The that's the audio plugin for Pulse Audio, which isn't needed.
We're done. I mean,
I don't
this
know,
is a side conversation now.
I'm killing the stream.
Please
whatever.
Do. Joe Plath first. Yay. I was